Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo.
And we're here tonight. It's Friday night. We'll be having George Dixon call in, and we'll be talking about the parallels in the Mayan calendar to the last time in the Mayan calendar history that we went through this cycle. And George and Leo and myself will be talking about that and other events. Leo right now is looking something up, and what is that, Leo?
Oh, they had the Voting Rights Act in 1965, which was the... actually, what I tried to do is try to look up 1965, because that's where we are in the timeline now. As a parallel to the Mayan calendar, where we're in the next period, galactic period, and we're going through the sixth day.
And we're paralleling this to which period?
1965. And all of the things that happened during that time.
Okay.
So, I mean, just looking up stuff that might be...
might be important for us to jog people's memories about the events in 1965 and how it parallels time right now. The Mayan calendar so far has been very accurate. I don't know what happened environmentally in 1965, if there were any environmental things that went on, like any big hurricanes or...
Not really sure, actually.
Volcanic eruptions. I know George has been doing some research, so hopefully he'll call in and he'll enlighten us as to what he came up with.
This is not a good website.
So why don't you go back and see if he's with us.
I will get off that, and let's see if George is with us. Yes, George is here.
Here he is.
Okay. Good evening, George.
Good evening, Lila.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How about you folks?
Well, we're okay. It's not raining right at the moment.
Yeah, that was some wicked rain that we've had. The sun came out for about a half hour this evening, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, boy. It was quite a day of heavy downpour, but we seem to have had a lot of those lately.
Yeah, quite a bit.
I was wondering if you had a chance to look up some parallels between 1965 and now, what you had come up with.
Right now, you know, I'm just focusing on, the medical situation, and wondering what the president is going to do about that. And we have to revamp our whole medical system. But I don't know how or what, but something is definitely not right here. And I think in 1965 there was a movement, I think, with Medicare.
Yeah.
And you know,
there in that he was the president who failed terribly in his foreign policy, but really had the war on poverty, and he did a lot of things domestically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, on medical care, I think it was a turning stone. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's happened is that it's outlived its usefulness at this point, and maybe a part of what we have to do is, just revamp a new system, and take it from there. We're going to have to do something.
Oh, that's for sure. I don't understand why we can't just go to the hospital and have it taken care of, and that's it. And
mm-hmm.
I think the Congress should have the same health care that we do. They've already, by saying that they're going to have a different kind of health care, made everybody else a second-class citizen to themselves. And that's the same thing they did with Social Security.
Well, you have to understand that's the way it's been. I mean, you have your different classes, and it's always been that way. And, it won't change.
I think it's about time it did change.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you.
You know, because I think they would be more vested in having it work properly and do a thorough job if they had to use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their families don't have to use it, and they don't have to use it. So really, what do they care? How are they vested in it? Not personally.
I think what we've done is that we too commercialized it way back then, and well, we should go back to the basics. And I'm not saying about a socialized medicine, but for some reason, Europe, you know, they have a better medical system, even Canada, than we do. And you know, the media has been holding it down for years, but that's the truth of the matter. I think Sicko, the movie, brought that all out.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know, it's funny because in looking at not only our medical help and so forth, but welfare itself. At that time, you know, we just gave money and gave a lot to the poor, built houses for them. And I'm not saying that was wrong. It was good for the time. But you know, England has a funny situation. You know, they give you money, and they'll give you money for a place to live if you don't have it, if you're down and out.
Yeah.
And even drug addicts and alcoholics. Now, if you're an alcoholic, the government acknowledges that, and what they will do is they'll give you extra money for your alcoholism, and that way you don't go out and rob houses. So if you take a look at the crime rate, it's way down because of, you know, people looking for money for a fix and so forth. Even with drugs, you know, you go to a clinic and it's given to you, and you're given money, too, to go out and have a McDonald's afterwards.
Well, you see, the prison system...
That's just their system. I'm just saying it's an option.
Just a second, George. One of the reasons that our prison population is so high is you can go on the stock exchange and you can find private prisons.
Yeah.
It's become a business.
Sure it is, yeah.
That's why there is no incentive in the corporate world to get rid of a prison population.
No.
It's business. It's the prison industrial complex in this country. Not only can you find private prisons on the stock exchange, but what, you know, think about the huge overhead for judges,
mm-hmm.
prosecutors, defense attorneys, courthouses.
Police department.
Wacken Hut was a big company dealing with prisons.
Yeah, it started in Florida.
Well, you have to understand what they did. You know, it's like local government. What they'll do is they'll contract out to have somebody do it if it's much cheaper. And that basically is what we've done with the prison situation. We turn them over to private corporations to handle the prisoners, and you know, it's a private institution. They're restricted, you know, by government laws and so forth, but they make their own laws as they go along.
Oh yeah, they're not here to crap. Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Now everything is that
so
way.
So it's a business.
It's all a business,
without a doubt.
And you know, the interesting thing is, we quoted it. This was about a year or so ago. We read an article on the air about. They get like $175 for an illegal prisoner.
Uh-huh.
Like
illegal alien.
Illegal alien prisoner, right?
Yeah.
And $100 for every legal prisoner. So their incentive was to
build
prisons for illegal aliens, which we now have a tremendous number of them in our jails.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they just... last year or the year before, they gave authority to the local police departments and sheriff departments to arrest and detain illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's what a lot of them have done, and they're swelled the jails with them. So it's really quite amazing.
Well, basically, in Europe, it's so much more progressive in a lot of ways. In that, they've recognized that alcoholism and drug addiction is a sickness. So in their prisons are actually criminals, not mentally ill and physically ill people.
But it's cheaper for them to pay room and board to an alcoholic and give him the money to drink himself to death than it is for to incarcerate him, right?
Lee, all I'm saying is that it's an option that has been used and could be used. But I think a change is a need. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's taking a look at corporations, what the government has done is subcontract out, and these people aren't held by the by the Constitution and the laws that government is, and they can get away with murder, and they write their own book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's funny to see what's going to happen out there in California. In following these IOUs that the governor now is handing out. Some businesses, what they can do is turn those over and the bank will hold them or they'll accept them. But the smaller businesses, they can't. They only have a time period, let's say 10 days, or I'm not sure on what it is. But, you know, it's not an open market. And, your small mom-and-pop businesses, you close them down, you're gonna close down that flow of money. So, you know.
You know, it's amazing. I was just reviewing this thing. No, this is interesting. Well, Lila doesn't think it's interesting, but it is. In 1965, the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, right?
Yeah.
And listen to the stuff that came out. Listen to the classics that really happened during this time.
Mm-hmm.
A World of Sport premieres on that was in England, but let's see. My Mother, the Car, remember that?
Oh yeah.
Please Don't Eat the Daisies. Lost in Space, Green Acres, Big Valley, I Spy. All of these shows were big hits for a while. It came out in 1965. The Dean Martin Show. All right. The Wild Wild West, Hogan's Heroes, I Dream of Jeannie,
okay.
Get Smart,
get it.
FBI. I think it's fantastic. And the Days of Our Lives soap opera began there in 65. The Dating Game began in 65.
Yeah.
But these were
Madison Avenue was busy in those days, that's for sure.
Well, not just that. I mean, Hollywood was busy in those days. These are all big-time television shows for a while there.
Yeah, but you got an altogether different market with the televisions. You know, people come home and they watch TV,
but
watch commercials.
No, I know, George, but it's like, you know, these are the things that came out in 65.
Mm-hmm.
These premiered in 65.
Yeah.
I, that's all I'm saying. And I don't recall too many years that had memorable programming. Okay, one of them happened to be, the Dean Martin Show lasted almost over 10 years.
Well, that said, you had variety shows that came out of the 50s
ran
the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, that's a thing of the past. You know, Carol Burnett Show.
All that. No, but all I'm trying to say is that these things happen.
Yeah.
Including another thing that happened is that we talked about this earlier was the Medicare bill.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Streisand had her first TV special ever, all right, in 1965. So it's like it's amazing what happened in that year, and just in entertainment, much less anything else.
You know, going back if we can, Lila.
Yeah.
The psychological effect of the times, and even dealing with drug addicts and so forth. What do you think, what caught your attention about those years?
About 1965?
Yes.
Well, when Leo was the one that reminded me about the medical and that kind of coverage, and that also meant that there was mental health coverage for people, too.
Yes.
And that's an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the recognition that with Medicare that people were getting older and needed to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was a big burden off the people who had older parents. So there was a recognition of what happens to families when they have an elderly parent. So there was support that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there was an awareness of the importance of that. And myself personally, in 1965, I actually was a sophomore in college.
Mm-hmm.
And was I a sophomore in college? Yes, I was a sophomore in college. And to me, those were quite the fun years. And actually, I was majoring in psychology, now that you bring it up.
There you go.
Which is an interesting thing. And I remember one of the things that I remember was talking in psychology class about the influences of the media on the population and how they were doing studies to get people to buy certain things. And I remember one of the things that the professor talked about was the grills on the cars,
mm-hmm.
how they were put on, and that was really to attract male buyers. Men liked that a lot. Isn't that funny that I remember that?
Well, you know, it was those years before the pharmaceutical company took hold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think with 1965 as not being a start, but, you know, it was a renaissance of the time. And people seen the changes and asked questions about it. And they weren't really given an answer for it. And they, you know, they seeked answers elsewhere. Of course, that started didn't start, but, you know, it pumped up, I think, the artificial reality need, and as with drugs of all sorts.
Yeah, and people began to experiment with drugs in those years. There was a lot of marijuana, and it was the beginning of, you know, I went to school on the East Coast, but already in California, my friends and I would get letters from people who went to school out there. There was already a lot of experimentation with LSD because things went from the West Coast to the East Coast. It always seemed like the West Coast was ahead of us on everything.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what I remember about that time period myself, living through it.
Well, when I said stepped up, you know, you can go back, and this goes back from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You always knew a truck driver would have some bennies. Bennies is basically uppers to keep them up. At that time, that was acceptable as, you know, not a narcotic, but a stimulus. You know, either you're going up or you're going down. Another one was no-dose. You could buy those over the counter.
Sure you could. And kids bought those when they were studying.
But, you see, that was okay. You could do that. It was legal.
Right.
Well, I mean, there are, a lot of things were legal back then that aren't now, but we have, I don't know, George. I guess what I wanted to say was that I see a tremendous number of parallels between 65 and now.
Yes.
And tremendous number of social movements that are happening now that were beginning then. All right.
Yes.
So but they're not only happening but coming to a head. Now.
Well, do you think that Afghanistan will be President Obama's Vietnam, like it was Johnson's?
Yeah, I think Afghanistan will be because
one can win there. No one has ever won in Afghanistan.
And we've got 140,000 troops in Iraq right now, and we've got 60,000 in Afghanistan right now, and they want to move in another 60,000 into Afghanistan.
Well, the parallels between Vietnam and Afghanistan are amazing. No one ever won in Vietnam either. That was French Indochina.
Yeah, nobody won.
And nobody ever won there. No white man ever won there, no European.
Right.
And Afghanistan is the same way. It was the pathway to broken dreams, Afghanistan. It's killed every and destroyed every nation that's tried to
win. Russia, after,
right.
Yeah, Russia and...
and before that, others.
Britain before that.
Yep.
Just many
A huge drain of resources, and I think that's going to be his Waterloo.
I wouldn't doubt it, unless he gets the hell out of there.
He based his whole presidency on the fact, one of the things he ran on was, get out of Iraq and fight the war where it belongs in Afghanistan. He was never against war.
No.
Never.
No, which...
I mean, that's why one of the reasons why I couldn't support him, because I think he supports war, and I don't.
Well, either way you look at it, it's a lose-lose situation.
You got that right.
You know, these... we've talked about these before. These things have to manifest themselves for what they are. And, you know, a lot of, the idea was Afghanistan was basically the blockade there in the oil pipe that was supposed to run through the seas,
right.
And that real estate in the Middle East is very is very sought after.
Yeah, value
and,
is.
Yeah, yeah, but you see, there's internal structures that are breaking down. This Afghanistan situation, it's going to escalate. There's no doubt about it. But I think right now it's the focus for the mongrels now, who are warmongers. But it's a lose-lose situation. How you look at it, you can even get in there in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia and so forth. There's been some static there, but you know. It's a loose situation. So what alternatives do we have? And the only thing I can come up with, to be truthful, and not looking at it from a polarized view, good or bad, is that we need some kind of intervention. We really do. And an intervention that would just stop us for a minute to take a look at what the hell is going on here and, you know, put things right. I'm afraid that Mother Nature may have a play in this. And, I'm just hopeful that people are able to tune into their world around them so they'll get a feeling of things happening before they come. And that is part of what the Mayans talked about, is that, you know, we're breaking away from this polarity of view and we're being drawn toward that unity consciousness. So whatever happens, we're going to feel it. If you put your emotional body into it, you'll feel that wave of influence before it comes here. And at this point, you know, Mother Earth is making some major changes. And, I was going through some of Drumbelow's latest work where he gets into the climate changes and so forth. And just following natural patterns that have happened in the past and how they're happening again right now. And where I live in upstate New York, we had 7 inches of rain the other day.
Wow.
And they had roads closed off all over the place, and the rivers were overflowing. And, you know, I hate to see the full farm reports on this and the agriculture up this way, because we have been hammered by rain all summer long, and not as bad as going south. They've been hammered themselves. But it's affecting crops. It's affecting our way of life. And this is part of what Mother Nature has been doing to us.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly affecting everybody's way of life, because if you work outside at all, you can't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a painter and you're a house painter, they make their money in the summertime.
And unemployment is almost 20% now.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I bet it's higher than
that.
Well,
on the books, dear, if you want to call it that, or whatever it is.
Well, no, on the books, they're talking about 9.5 and 10%.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
Not talking yet about 20%, but, they're...
Well,
they're,
those are the people that aren't collecting, that have fallen off the rolls. You know, there's probably another 10%, probably is around 20%.
Every week I can look in the newspaper and I see another company fold where, you know, they're going to lay off 5, 6,000 employees. 1,000 employees.
That's terrible. Poor people.
Yeah.
It would be one thing if they had the prospect of another job. Unfortunately, though, there are very few jobs out there.
Lila, the way I see it right now, if we can dish out $700 billion to fight a damn war, we can take half that much money and give it to the people. Start up programs. I mean, our infrastructure has fallen. It's fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we have to go back to, you know, the 30s, you know, with these labor programs and so forth, let's do it. But, you know, let's do it so we can live a normal life instead of having to work for the landowner.
Well, it seems like they don't want to do that.
Well, they is only, less than 600 men in there in Washington.
Congress, yeah. It seems like they have no interest in preserving the infrastructure of this country. They're letting Washington, D.C. crumble right around them.
Well, their constituents are just leaving by the herds every day, you know, because they hear the other side of the mouth talking and the manipulating, you know, that's been going on. And, it's a way of life. But
I'm hoping to get rid of our two senators. We have two of the worst, I think.
Well, found out Dodd Dodd's got prostate cancer. He's going for
surgery,
I guess, this month.
I mean, I don't wish him ill.
No, but at the same time, he's stating he's going to continue to run for his office regardless of the outcome.
That's good because that is change, and, it's like his time has been had. Now new time is open, so,
I think he'll be challenged, and I think he's going to lose.
Well, whatever.
I don't think he's running, or somebody will challenge him, and he won't be elected. Because number one, he's not well, and number two, he did some terrible things, and he's paying the price for it. One of the things in the book that you lent me, which I found very interesting, the one that that big one that you lent me, George.
Oh, which one is that? Cantrell?
Yeah.
In the Cantrell? Yeah.
The greatest story never told. Yeah, that's the one. One of the things that she said is that human beings aren't made to be anything but honest. And the more you lie, the more it affects you physically, and it shortens your life.
Well, that, without a doubt. It puts more stress on the body.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so eventually those people have shortened lives because of the way they're living and the fact that they aren't telling the truth. That was one of the things she said in that book. The other thing that she said, of course, which you already know and the folks at home might find interesting, is that we are repeating the same things over and over again, just like the Mayan calendar is set.
Yes.
And that we have been through nuclear holocaust before.
Yes.
And the reason we get ill and sick and die so young is that that's what's affected our bodies. And
yes,
that's one reason. Also, the fact that we've polluted the environment and our food, and we're further polluting it by this genetically modified stuff, which is going to shorten our lives, I think. I'm wondering if this generation will live as long as their parents did. I mean, I'm wondering if the lifespan is getting shorter instead of getting longer.
Is that good or bad if it gets longer or it gets shorter?
Well, it should get longer. I mean, we have all this wonderful technology. We have great resources. People's lives should get longer, but I don't know whether they will because of the bad nutrition that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And
but the body would compensate for that over time. And just like the kids now, they're able to digest foods from all over the world much easier than, let's say, a couple generations before.
Mm-hmm.
And biologically, their body is evolving and changing to compensate.
So you think someone who spends a lifetime eating fast food and refined sugar isn't going to be affected?
Oh, they will be affected. They will be affected.
Yeah, they'll have a shortened lifespan and they'll have illness.
Mm-hmm.
How about the guy that ate McDonald's all the time and he was so sick?
Yeah, but he lived and he made millions of dollars.
But he made a change.
But it proves that it does affect you.
Well, you didn't have the body didn't. He only ate it for 30 days,
mm-hmm.
right? And what happens is the body starts to adapt to whatever it starts to eat, even though it nearly killed him.
Nearly killed him.
But there's one guy out there that for the last 25 years, all he's had is Big Mac. Big Macs every day is what he eats. And he's been on television and promoting. He doesn't do promotional ads for McDonald's because he looks pretty sickly. But,
yes.
This guy's eaten McDonald's for 25 years, your body.
He's 30 years old and looks 50. Is that?
Well,
what it
no, he's 50 years old and he looks
150.
Well, he looks sick, but
he probably
but
is.
Still, he won't change his ways, and still. He's doing all right. He's walking around. He's holding down a job or whatever he does, and he's been, that's his thing. But, the body eventually adapts to everything.
No, it does not.
Maybe it won't.
The body doesn't adapt. You eat something that with your body, you break out in a rash.
Well,
you get psoriasis. You get it affects your internal organs. No, your body does not always adapt, Leo. It rebels.
It does rebel. Yes, it does. But eventually, depending on what food it is, if you're not allergic to it, it'll take it in. It'll take whatever nutrition there is in there.
There is no nutrition in a lot of the food that people eat. That's the problem. Refined sugar.
Yeah, we're not going to agree on McDonald's, but nevertheless, what's your thoughts, George? What are your thoughts here?
Well, with Linda Cantrell, let me tell you what she's done. Is she specializes holistically, going back to civilizations of antiquity,
yep.
And she talks about the changes that our body has gone through. In fact, I've quoted some of her work on the shows many seasons ago, dealing with our DNA and our blood types.
Right.
And it was over time, because of what we ate in the environment, that our blood changed from an O positive, which is more carnivorous, and adapted to, you know, A-type blood. Now, A-type blood was because of the agricultural products, the grains that we ate, our digestive system changed to digest this. So actually, it was a change within the body itself to adapt to, you know, new food sources.
Mm-hmm.
But she talks about, as time went by, that the body had to adapt to different environments throughout the time, and the body adapted to it. And, of course, you know, we have type O, we type A, type B, type AB. And, you know, some say that these kids that are being born now, they are at a point where they may be changing, a new blood type may come into existence. And part of that is because the onslaught of the AIDS epidemic and the body immune system fighting to counteract that. In a matter of speaking, it's like the 100 monkey scenario. You know, a thought or an understanding goes out and everything is affected. But because of AIDS and so forth, now kids are being born and their blood type, they're not affected by anything, including cancer. So the body is adapting, and these kids may be, you know, just the beginning of some of the biological changes that we are making. Now, what you're saying about eating all this junk food, you're right. But, you know, we've become so complacent that, you know, we're told on one side, you know, don't eat this stuff, it's bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of you, you know, craves that ice cream cone, and you just can't pass the, you know, Mr. Softy. So,
right.
You know, it's the confusion is in the head. One says no, one says yes, and there's no way to balance it out other than going with your intent or your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a constant battle. And the body itself, I've learned, in a sense, that you can talk to your body and communicate. Look, I like ice cream, so, you know, let's see what you can do with your genes to compensate and incorporate, you know, some of my wants into, you know, my life. And,
so how's that working for you, George?
How's it working?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I don't know, other than I'm still here. But, you know, I've Greg Braden's work years ago, you know, clicked into something that bothered me.
What was that?
When I lived on Long Island, you know, I was not too far from Brookhaven Laboratories.
Right.
And, you know, it's been shown that children over the ages, the radiation within their teeth, you know, you can actually scale it and see how it affected the populace there on Long Island. So, you know, I've been living there for a while, so all I can do is try to see if the body can compensate for what it has or what damage has been done that I didn't know about or it wasn't able to concentrate on and, you know, build up some resistance to that. And just like, you know, a sickness or something, you know, who's to say that, you know, we can't bring together our own antibiotics, you know, to compensate for any foreign invasion that, you know, the blood may experience.
Well, the body sure has to work hard in today's world, I think. But it's probably always had to.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. But also, you know, it's a you can't, you know, give it to your body to take care of it and just walk away. You got to be part of it. And that's where your intent comes into being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to do something, do it right. You know, don't fight it because you get involved with that polarity battle. And that I think is part of the unity consciousness that we do have. And, you know, it's emotions come from the heart, and from the heart it goes to the brain. Then when it goes into the brain, then it's split in two because of the polarity consciousness and a polarity view of world. So, you know, instead of having to have the brain come to a feeling when it receives a thought form, either positive or negative, you know, what it can do is just go with the emotions, and you won't have the backlash that you would have, you know, if you thought something through and mentally put it in motion. I'm getting away from myself here, but you know, it's understanding that, you know, in a polarity mind, if you think your intellect and your emotions are the same, they're not, and that's
something I'm just beginning to really understand more and more. I always thought that the mind was more important, and because I guess I was trained that way.
Mm-hmm.
And in school, hunches and intuition are not honored. It's only what the mind can grasp and figure with. But I think the best researchers and the most creative people probably lead with the heart.
Oh, they lead with curiosity and emotion, and that's what drives you.
With the last meeting with the indigenous elders out west, they all agreed that, you know, this world is one big illusion, and that is that illusion is created by us. Now, understanding the heart is the base of the emotional body. When you have a feeling, it's in the heart. Then the heart sends the message to the brain. Now, understanding your upper and lower sections of the heart. Now, I've mentioned before, the heart is really it's a crystal. It's a 7-chamber oscillating crystal.
Oh, it is?
And yes, it is.
Oh.
Because it oscillates electrical field.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Electrical field is the heart is regulated by the sun, by the energy from the sun, and it's the sun's energy that the heart pulls that energy, and with the heart itself, the heart sends, let's say, 2 avenues of emotions to the brain, and 1 to the pineal gland, and it's through the pineal gland that you actually produce a 3-dimensional reality, and this is what you feel. Now, with your brain is basically directing this view that you have of this illusion that's being put up into a screen around you. So it's viewing it through your brain, or viewing it through your heart, which is the initial instigator of the field.
So all of us are stimulated to see the same thing?
Well, no. It's because you are creating your reality. Now, I've said before that, you know, your feelings and your thoughts are actually drawing to you the consciousness that you perceive, that you live in. You draw to yourself those thoughts or those feelings of the world around.
Now, in co-creation, co-creationism here. What are we? Who are we creating with God? Are we creating with the universe? Are we creating with ourselves? Are we creating with each other? What does co-creation essentially have to do with that, with the universal period, which is, you know, next year?
let me add this if I can. You know, imagine yourself, let's say, a Merkaba. You're a Merkaba field. And imagine that you're in a planetarium. Now, what you see around you could be affected by your Merkaba, by the spinning and the thought forms, which is displayed on that outside sphere that you see.
Right.
So understand that whatever your focus is, your mind is focused on, it will actually create that thought or emotion into the globe around you. It's like you are the projector, and there are seven rays coming out of your head that are like the projectors that are shooting this image that you see around you. You know, you see sometimes in religious statues where a halo is around a person.
Correct.
And bars. Understand that this is the energy field that is actually producing that illusion reality that you see, that you're experiencing, including third dimension, three dimensions.
So essentially our body is a three-dimensional illusion, and the spirit is the it's a mask. The body is really a mask for the soul, and the soul is infinite and immortal and is
yes. You know, it's hard to explain other than if you take two wires.
The problem with the soul is that it's extremely forgetful, and each time it reincarnates, it's got to go through a thought process. It forgets everything, and it has to start new all the time. And I don't know, George. Are we going to?
I don't go along with that, Leo.
Tap into their past lives and their past instincts. You know,
George just asked you.
What was that?
You asked.
Well, I don't believe that. You don't forget anything.
Oh, man.
You don't forget anything.
Today, I've forgotten quite a few things today. What to do? I don't know about that, George. I think I forgot a lot, and I forget so many things that I can't even. It's like when we.
Well, you may have, Leo. You may have forgot, but your body hasn't forgotten.
Well, you know, the funny thing was back in '65. I remember 65. I remember living 65, and I remember these things, but I had really forgotten them until I looked them up in the
on the computer, and
uh-huh.
Something you say, I remember that.
I remember that. I remember this.
Well, when you
that.
Say Beatles 65 Ed Sullivan Show, you
yeah,
know what
yeah,
immediately
yeah.
you know what immediately I see? I see myself in a corridor in my dorm. And I lived next to, I think her name was Lois Sullivan. She was Ed Sullivan's niece.
Oh.
And I see her. And I'm talking to her about the Beatles, and she had gone to that,
actually.
Oh,
she was there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I remember being on my living room floor with my family, my sister and I, and I think my aunts, some of my aunts were there that they were visiting that time. And when the Beatles went on the Ed Sullivan Show, and we watched it, and everybody watched the Beatles, and they all said these guys wouldn't last.
Oh,
know,
they did all
just,
the adults.
It was just a fad. It wouldn't last, you know. And it was amazing because I remember
so
that.
So who do you think we're saying that about today?
Huh.
You know, who would be?
Well, Let me go back to what Leo says. You know, you lose that, or you forget that.
Yeah.
You don't forget that, Nothing is forgotten.
Have you reminded?
Well, you got to have some.
Well, no. Look at the process now. If you go to your head, you may not be able to find it, but your emotional body has it. So you automatically went to your emotions, your feelings, and what you're able to do is draw back those tapes, and you remember the event because just like it happened yesterday, because your feelings, your body was involved with that, and your body is the record keeper. Just like, you know, you can have an event that took place, and you'll have a scar on your body. I mean, that's more than an emotional feeling, but understand your body reacts like that. And it has its place, it stores that information, that emotional part, and that's connected with the heart, but that I won't go any further. So I'm saying you everything that happens to you, this life, past lifetimes, you remember.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just easier to remember something that has a strong feeling attached.
Well, that's right. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have to put some work into it. Understand, if there's an initiation or a routine to follow, you can follow the routine to get there. But once you get there, it's yours, and then you change the picture to suit your own needs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying it's the intent that you put into it. And sometimes the intent can be elaborate or as simple as snapping your fingers and, you know, you're there. But it's something individually that you have to work through. And, you know, understand that, you don't have to go through the rigorous role of going back to school and starting all over again because you've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what you do is jump above it. And with your feelings, you can. If you get entangled with your mind, your brain will tell you, well, you can't do that unless you do this first. But understand that is one way to get there. The other way is through your emotions and think and be it. You know, it's like The Secret when it came out. What you got to do is that you have to put your emotions into it. Change your emotions. Change your ways of thinking, you know, to adapt to the intent that you, the purpose that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So above anything else, I deal with people from the heart, and I don't get the backlash of the duality of the positive and negative. You know, you'll receive the goodness, but understand the badness is going to come up and hit you on the other end. It's because the nature of the duality that is in play at this time. See,
so
now dealing with a heart, you don't have to go through the polarity and get the backswing on that. And, you know, I'm going back years and understanding, you know, with some of my metaphysical studies and understanding magic, how magic works, and, you know, good spells and bad spells. And there are routines that you must follow. And, you know, a good witch or a warlock, you will cast a spell on somebody, but they'll cast it in two ways. So if it does bounce off the recipient, it doesn't come back and hit you in the face. That's why dogs or animals were used at that time. You know, they would refocus the energies back to something else, so they won't be affected. But understand, that is the nature of the energies that are put in motion. In dealing with the heart, with the emotions, you don't have to go through that polarity. That you can think a thought or think an understanding, and boom, you're there. And there is no other way or no opposite to it. And that is part of the unity consciousness that we've broken off and we're going back into again, where, you know, we can play games with this duality world in consciousness, you know, forever. But understand that is maybe what's changing and the Mayans are talking about. Go ahead, Leo.
I was wondering what you caught from Drumbelow today. You were reading some of his works?
No, reviewing some of his works. In what relationship was I talking there?
Well, you had mentioned a few about 20 minutes ago that you had reviewed some of his works, and I was wondering whether these were early ones or more recent ones.
No, it was the recent ones that I was reviewing, and I think it was more in and learning about the elders, you know, what they have to say about this time. And I believe today or tonight there's some kind of a closed internet workshop that Drumbelot is giving. And I believe some of the elders of the tribes from South America are going to join him, but also Mayans, and they're going to be releasing new information. So I'm anxious, I think, at this point to hear what he has to say. But one thing he did say, and they all agreed upon, that consciousness comes from the heart, that it faces the heart, not the head.
Now, were these the same group of people that met to say that this world is an illusion? You had mentioned that there was a group of indigenous people.
Yes, it was part of the illusion.
Okay, I just wanted to tie those pieces together.
Yeah.
So in this illusion that we're in, how the hell do we get out of it? How do we break out of the illusion?
Or do we want to stay in the illusion?
What should we be doing? If we stay in the illusion, then we are living a false reality.
But in 2012, that's when we break out of the illusion, maybe.
Is that true, George? Do we break out, or do we wind up finding ourselves
We'll end up where that illusion takes us, and it's what we do with that illusion.
Yeah.
And it's like intent. The intent that you put into life, you know, what you want out of life, you'll receive. And if you don't put anything into it and sit back and wait for it to give to you, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
You're going to be out on your own. But I think it's following your intent and where your intent takes you. I, for one, pray every day that, you know, the world sees a better light through the heart. I really do. I think it's not only for me, you know, it's giving reverence to the cycle that's going on here, to the Creator, but also live a truthful light. And, you know, when I go to bed at night, I sleep good because I can only live by truth. My years in the business world and so forth, it's a polarity world out there. And, you know, for some people, it's okay, you know, to drown a puppy for a dollar.
Yeah.
I was never that way, and I was able to make money and produce a living for myself without that. And, it's just something that I'm not involved with anymore, that's for sure. I've learned that, what comes around goes around. And, it's a lot easier for me to deal with it the first time for the last time instead of having to come back it again. Because if you lie or, you know, if you don't tell the truth, it'll only come back to you. And,
Sure it does.
Well, it does, too, just like, I had an accident, and it was my fault, you know, there's no doubt about it. The insurance company didn't want to hear that, and, you know, they paid the claim and whatever, but, hey, an accident is an accident, and, you know.
Not like you did it on purpose, that's why they call it an accident.
Yeah, but, you know, they raised my rates and blah, 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 and so forth, but, it's just the repercussions of, you know, dealing in the everyday world that it doesn't pass me by without me looking at it, and at least knowing I did the best I could, and, that's all I can do. I can't do any more, and that's the way it is.
Well, you know, I don't believe in anything under oath, all right? And the reason I say that is I've been into a lot of court situations where people, the incentive in court is to lie, cheat, steal, and the best defense attorney is the best liar,
mm-hmm.
right? So, your court systems are a fraud because most of what they're dealing with, if you go into a courtroom, is you're dealing with a blind, deaf, and dumb judge, basically, and a monkey court, you know.
No, it depends what kind of case it is. On a civil case,
a lot of cases
you have
to try, are not
you have
even
to
tried.
Remember
just,
that
boom, boom, boom,
that
boom,
in
boom,
civil
boom.
Cases, Leo,
yeah.
There's no muscle to follow through and do anything to the person that lies anyway.
That's right.
And who's going to investigate the case?
Right.
Nobody.
Nobody. So it's like lies and lawsuits and divorces and you name it. One side can lie, or both sides can lie, and the judge decides, well, you're both lying, boom, you know, this, that, or she lies is better than you are lying, so she gets it. He lied better than you did. So,
and you protested.
Yeah.
You'd have to hire a private investigator
to prove that
he
hid his assets or her assets, or to prove that, whatever. And most courts don't even want to hear it because most courts don't even do that. Adultery or this or that or it's
a dissolution of a business.
That's all it is,
and
it's like what do they call it?
No contest.
No contest and irreconcilable differences.
No fault.
Right. Irreconcilable differences. No fault. Yeah, that's about it.
You know what I wanted to do is take a look at the judicial standings that we had back in 1965. I just wondered what the courts were doing then.
The civil rights issues back then.
Mm-hmm.
Loaded with civil rights issues, protesters, First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
The rights for.
Well, there's a lot of things going on in the courts right now, Leo.
Civil rights. You know, the rights for black people to vote. The rights for. Freedom of assembly, freedom of protest.
To ride on a bus, for God's sake, to school.
Yeah, anything like that, to integrate schools. These were all the things that the courts were dealing with in 65. And in 65, I think the Attorney General then was Ramsey Clark, all right, remarkable or tremendous left-wing radical who defended Saddam Hussein. You know what I mean? In his trial, and this was the caliber of people that were leading the country then, and yeah, JFK was a tremendous force to getting through the Medicare bill, to getting through the war on poverty, to getting through the civil rights movement and civil
not
rights.
Not JFK,
bill.
Lyndon Johnson.
No, that's not Lyndon Johnson.
LBJ.
Yeah. So and he did so many things. But yet, the war cost him, and he
ruined his legacy.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, he had a tremendous domestic legacy, and yet his foreign policy was his doom. So
and
he didn't even bother running for a second term. You know,
the one thing I remember about LBJ, two things I remember about him. One, he pulled up his shirt and showed his scar. The other thing is he lifted his dog up by the ears. I thought he was very crude and mean. That's what I remember about him.
But I remember a lot more about him, but at the same time,
but those are the things,
that period of time was
when did the Warren Report come out?
About then.
Yeah.
Right about then. It came out under under Johnson, so
that's just some of the residue from JFK there, and the shenanigans that went on there with that.
It just so happens that Ford, what's his face, Ford,
Jerry Ford,
yes,
he happened to be the chairman of that, not the chairman, but he happened to be
on the committee
on the Warren Commission, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That allowed that whole thing to be whitewashed, and then guess who? Guess who appointed him president, all right, in 74 was Richard Nixon,
mm-hmm.
when he resigned. So, and then, of course, Ford gave him the pardon, all right, pardon Richard Nixon. So.
Well, you mean he just couldn't call him in there and have a beer and talk about it?
No, I guess not.
Invite him to the White House? That's a new way of doing things, huh?
That was a kind of a farce, wasn't it? Jeez,
well, that shit got to be played out, you know.
What the hell kind of teaching moment that was?
He put his foot in his mouth, and he had to, react quickly. And I think what he did was pretty smart, because he made a huge mistake getting involved in that mess.
Yeah.
He couldn't help himself. With certain things, you can't help yourself. He He's black, and it's a very personal, sensitive issue. And he reacted from his gut, from his heart. It was out before he could pull it back.
Yeah.
I think. To him, it was a very sensitive. We can't experience that because we're not black. We don't know.
Yeah, but
if
somebody arrested me because I was at the door trying to get into my own house
and being lippy.
And what?
Being lippy.
Yeah.
Being lippy. Yeah.
Being
yeah.
lippy. Nobody would care because you're a white guy.
Yeah. Well, they would. They'd just throw you away. They'd take you. You know, but.
Well, those biases are still there, and, you know, even within the system themselves.
They'll take you no matter what. They don't
but
like
he has a particular sensitivity to that because he's black. We haven't experienced their history, so we don't know what that feels like.
It's just, you know, he
it was an emotional response on his part.
I'd rather not get into that myself, but.
But from a legal perspective, I think that's what's going to come out into the open. And I think that's all part of the judicial change that we're going to experience, even with this new Supreme Court justice.
Well, you got to remember, prior to '65, the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Movement, all of the South was segregated, and including Northern schools were all segregated, and everything else was segregated. But it wasn't until Martin Luther King. And a bunch of the boys, that was the assassination of Malcolm X as well, in '65. But all of these things just took to energizing and the entire social revolutionary period.
Well, it wasn't just the United States;
it was all over the world. You had the Czechoslovakian Revolution, you had in the 60s, and you had the late 50s, you had the Hungarian Revolution, and then you had the Soviets. You just had one thing after another during the 60s, and you had Castro, you had Cuba, you had all of these things all around that time. So we were kind of very, very similar to now, very, very similar. There was a lot of energy. And
in the meanwhile, that war was going on over there, you remember, Vietnam?
That's absolutely right, and just like the things now. So we're not, things as much as they're changing, they're pretty much the same. I'm just hoping and I'm believing
I'm
that these changes are far more substantial.
I'm hoping that people turn out and protest against this Afghanistan escalation.
Get the hell out of the war again, you know? It's like,
you know, able to pass. Even as you said, George would be able to fix our infrastructure.
As long as you got rid of the industrial
huge
complex,
expenditure that we have, making war and hurting people.
Yeah. So
I mean, what a horrible way to your country.
But it cost us, though. It cost us deeply because understanding that the generation before that, the generation before that, they were geared toward war and lived a warrior's life, just like. In Vietnam, normally, you know, people from that era grew up with toy soldiers and guns and the Indians and the cowboys. It was always us against them. But basically, it was the way we were primed, you know, to be soldiers in battle. And yet, Vietnam was an altogether different situation because after 10 months, whoop, you're gone, and you didn't have a chance to finish what you went there to start to do. And when you were told to do this and told to do that, you know, it became somebody else's war and not your own. So we weren't given the opportunity to complete a basic destiny, a drive of what we were primed to do, to be. So, you know, take a look at the next generation, how the yuppie world has handled it. Well, you know, I'll get even with you. You know, I'll take over your business. And it became a business world. Where, you know, the competition was artificial, it wasn't real. Just like the generation before, the realization of war is a fantasy, but it's a reality when it comes to blood and guts and dying.
Hey, you know, Anthony is on the line here. Anthony, are you okay? You want to say something?
How you doing, Anthony?
Hello.
Oh, well, I hope he's listening.
Maybe.
So I think right now, take a look at what's happened with Iraqi war, and you say Afghanistan. First of all, they see it's a phony situation. It's a setup. And once they get there, they can't come home because the military keeps them there. And, you know, that's wrong. And, you know, you get into contractual agreements. It's no longer, like it was a couple generations before. It's a contract. It's a business. You signed up, and they give you so much and blah, blah, blah. But
well, you know what I found was funny,
give
though,
away your rights.
It's kind of funny. Is this this Afghanistan, this kid that
Yeah, I'm back on now. How y'all doing?
Hi,
yeah.
Anthony.
Hey,
I have a new phone, so I couldn't. It's one of those touchscreen technology things. So it wasn't quite zeroed in. Yeah, I was there in Afghanistan, so I enjoy listening to the conversation. Go ahead.
So what I was saying is that, you know, the boys that are coming home now.
No! I was talking about that kid that got taken prisoner in Afghanistan, and we haven't heard anything about him for a couple of weeks.
About a week.
About a week at least. What's happening there? At least a week, Lila. And the funny thing was is that this guy is not. This guy was supposedly deserted, and was off the post, all right, and he got picked up, but that was it. I mean, and they used him for some propaganda video, and we never heard from him again, and we haven't heard any news about the hunt for him or the investigation or anything for at least a week on mainstream media. So I haven't seen anything on the blogs either about him.
Have either of you?
No, I haven't heard anything. I just briefly heard about it. I don't really listen to mainstream news, but I heard a little bit about it. And I was there at the airbase that he wandered off at.
Yeah.
And the only way that could have happened is through him doing it intentionally. I may be wrong, but at least back in the time, in the day and the time when I was there, the only way you could really, quote-unquote, leave was to just leave. And, you know, I don't think either he's an idiot, or he had something, some ulterior motive for leaving the base.
Right.
I mean, honestly, you know, we're trained to go over there and do a job, and you're trained not to, you know, cross certain barriers. And when you cross those barriers, you know, you're on your own, really. But I don't see our government leaving him alone, and I think it's best that they don't give it the airplay that it does not deserve, because sometimes we do ourselves more harm than good.
I agree with you on that, yeah.
I was just surprised that there was no mention of it. So my assumption is that he probably deserted the post and was trying to find a way out of there, or else he was trying to pick up some drugs or something, or else something else, you know, to get off base. So
it's one of the. I mean, Leo, it's, you know, when you're over there in that theater, you're everything is so highly controlled. Very detail oriented. You know, you don't really make any moves unless you know, you have your buddies with you. And it's just, you know, it's kind of ridiculous that he would leave post without, I think, intentionality.
Right. I think that's why it's quieted down. But and you probably won't hear any more about it. But anyway, we were just running across the parallels there, Anthony, between
1965.
And now, and we found a tremendous number of them. One of them, including Medicare, was passed then, and the Civil Rights Movement was passed then, and the assassination of Malcolm X, the Mariner 4, the Beatles. You know, all of these things happened during 1965, including I Dream of Jeannie, which was my favorite show.
Barbara Eden.
I know, right? I mean, whose favorite show was it not? Hi, Lila.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really, really nice to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
I really enjoyed your show the other night, Anthony.
Oh, we enjoyed you tremendously, George. I Dream of Jeannie. Which one, Jeannie or Ginger?
Ginger.
So we're looking forward to being on your show on the 10th, Anthony.
Yes, and Phyllis Schlemmer is looking forward to the conversation as well.
Oh, good.
I've been trying to locate information on the nine principles or the Council of Nine, and there's all kinds of legendary. There's all kinds of things on it.
Well, she's the one that is channeling those entities. Just go to the onlyplanetofchoice.com, and you can branch out from there.
Yeah, I did go there as well, but I was very curious as to who she was channeling and what they were saying.
So the Council of Nine.
Yeah, the Council of Nine. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
We're going to have a good time.
So, but anyway, the show's kind of up, and we want to thank you guys for joining us. And of course, Georgia, thanks for being on tonight. And Anthony, we appreciate your input here. So, that's it. And anything else you guys want to end with? Feel free. Anything?
I just want to see some sunshine. I've had so much rain here. And a little sun will do me good for the next week or so. God be with you.
How's the Florida weather, Anthony?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful down here. Just like you all, we have some rain going on, but we absolutely need it. And
we don't need any of it. Believe me,
it's rained every day. It seems since May.
Since May, yeah. It's like
But we need to send it to Texas.
Oh, we do.
No.
Okay. Well, we'll.
Yes.
To move to Texas.
Yeah, Texas has a drought, a 200-year drought, so maybe we can focus our intention, just focus on Texas and really focus our intention on manifesting rain in Texas.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. That would be good for
them. Yeah, shifting that energy from over us over Texas. Nothing's impossible.
Do a switch flip a switch on the HARP program, and you can move all those clouds
right
over to Texas.
Well, I think we need more time to talk about that, Leo. Mother Nature has ways of her own.
Well, anyway, I think we in the Northeast will pray for some sunshine, and certainly some sunshine in everybody's life would be nice.
So thank you, guys.
Hey, any day is a good day.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, guys, and good night.
Have a good night.
God be with you all. Thank you.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
And good night, everybody. tell your friends about us.